morning to you. This is Brother Jonah this morning. We're going to be coming to you from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son who receiveth. He endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, wherefore are all partakers? You are bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but eat for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth its full fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." The writer of Hebrews tells us that those that will walk with the Lord Jesus, that God will chasten his people. That God chastens his people in hopes that his people will look to him. They will get their eyes off the world and get their hearts off the things of this life. That they will look to the heaven from which cometh our help. And we see here that it tells us that our earthly fathers, they chastened the people of Israel, and they did it for their own pleasure. But we see that when the Father of Heaven chastens us, that he does it for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now he says that no chastening for the present, that as we're going through a chastening time or the period of chastisement, no chastisement seems to be joyous. It often seems grievous. But in the midst of those grievous times, it will yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. In other words, for those that allow themselves to go through that chastening time in their life. You know, if you find a weightlifter that only exercises on nice days, they only exercise in the good times, they only exercise when they felt like it, they only exercise when it seemed convenient for them, then you would probably find a weightlifter that couldn't lift many weights. You'd find a weightlifter that wasn't very strong. But for the weightlifter that finds himself exercising in the nice days and the bad days, when he finds himself exercising when he wants to and when he doesn't want to, and when he finds himself exercising when it's convenient or whether it's inconvenient, you will find a man that is able to lift a lot of weight, and he will be successful in his weightlifting. And that's what the writer here, Hebrews, says there in verse 11. It says, "It will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that are exercised thereby, unto those that allow this chastisement to work in their lives, ye even when it's inconvenient and when it's unprofitable, or at least we think it's unprofitable, when it's hard, when it's troublesome upon us, if we will allow God's hand to be placed upon us, the end result in your life this morning is that there will be a peaceable fruit of righteousness sown in your heart. Now, again, that doesn't make things joyous for the present. That doesn't mean that things will be easy in the midst of the chastisement. But what that does mean is that we can have faith and we can trust God in the midst of our valley, in the midst of our fiery storms. And we can find ourselves looking to Him regardless of what the enemy, or regardless of what this world tries to throw at us, we can be faithful. But in the midst of all the chastisement that we may have upon our life, we see that the writer of Hebrews does not leave us hanging there. He opens up in verse 12 and he says, wherefore? He gives us six things to do while we're waiting upon the Lord. I believe these six things can stop discouragement. It can increase faith. It can allow us to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So let's look at those things. The first one says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So we see that you know, these hands that are weary, these hands that are longing to be freed from this chastisement, he says to lift up those hands. Scripture says that we're to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. And we're to pray, lifting up hands unto God. And you know, that's the first thing. The lifting up of the hands is a sign of victory. And when our hands are no longer being lifted up, when our hands are just hanging down, it's a sign of defeat. And I think that's the first thing that we can look at ourselves in the midst of those times where God is trying to do a work within us. If our hands, our spiritual hands, are hanging low, it's the first sign that we need to repent and find our way back to God. To repent and lift up our holy hands unto the Lord Jesus without wrath and without doubting. So we lift up those hands in faith, believing and trusting God that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And he tells us to strengthen our feeble knees, these knees that maybe you feel like they're knocking together and maybe you feel like they can't hold the weight of this trial. But beloved, God is not going to put any trial upon us that we're not able to bear. Whatever the trial or the chastisement that is coming against us, beloved, believe me, it is for our own good, according to verse 10. Again, the fathers of old chastised us after their own pleasure, but Christ, the Father, He does it for your profit. He does it for my profit, that you and I may be partakers of His holiness. So strengthen those feeble knees. Lift up those holy hands. March through this spiritual warfare that you may be going through, and believe and trust God that He is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. It's not within your own strength. It's not within your own merits. It's not within your own ability that enables you to be more than a conqueror, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you that works within you and makes you strengthen your knees, causes you to lift up your holy hands and makes you to be more than an overcomer. also goes on in verse 13, and he says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, discouragement is often a thing that gets the best of God's people. And while we're going through these periods of chastisement, oftentimes we just want to question God. We want to wonder why, when, where, how, why me? All these questions seem to go through our minds. But the scripture says that we're to make straight paths for our feet. That we're not to turn ourselves out of the way, because if we don't make straight paths, then that which is lame will be turned out of the way. But his heart is that that which is lame, that individual that is going through a time of chastisement, that it would not be turned out of the way, but that it would be healed. That God would heal those individuals. So allow your paths to be made straight, that your feet may walk in holiness and righteousness. He goes on in verse 14. He says, to follow peace with all men. You know, it's easy to follow peace with those that we love and those that love us. It's easy to follow peace with those that offer kind words to us throughout the days. But how about those that don't have kind words for us? How about those that may be our enemies? How about those that may be within a particular fellowship that want to continually push us to the side? You see, it's easy for me to love those that love me. But as much as lieth within you, he says, to follow peace with all men. You know, it's easy for us to take a stand and be non-resistant and say, well, I don't go to war, therefore I'm non-resistant. No, that's not even really non-resistance. That's just not going to war. Non-resistance is a whole lot deeper than just not going to war, not committing murder. But non-resistance works within the inner heart of the individual. It gets deep down into the individual to where we can be just like Jesus Christ. And we can follow peace with all men. And holiness. He tells us to be holy. He says, be holy, for I am holy. He tells us to sanctify ourselves. And if we don't follow peace, and if we don't walk in holiness, he said, without these things, no man shall see the Lord. You know, you can have all the preachers in this world that we live in. They can tell us that we found our liberty, and they can set us free in Jesus Christ, and they can have all these wonderful things, but beloved, if they're not going to commend you and exhort you to be holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to say they're a deceiver according to the scriptures. And they have a heart to fulfill the lust of their own flesh. Because my Bible tells me that we have to be holy. And we can't love the things of this world. And if we love the things of this world, according to 1 John, he says that the love of the Father is not within us. So, let's be holy. Let's love holy people. Let's love holy things. Let's read the holy book. And let's be holy. And he goes on to say in verse 14, or verse 15, he says, looking diligently. Looking diligently, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes focused into the heavens, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. What do you look at this morning? As you prepare your heart for meeting, as you prepare your heart for different things throughout the week, Are you looking diligently? Because if we don't look diligently for the coming of the Lord, he says, lest any man fail or fall from the grace of God. You see, these things are the key to maintaining our victory in Christ Jesus when chastisement comes upon us. We must lift up our hands and worship God. We must strengthen our feeble knees. We must make straight paths for our feet. We must follow peace with all men. We must be holy unto all men. And we must continually look diligently for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't do these things, we will fail the grace of God. And the possibility of a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, beloved, this morning I trust that God will allow his word to speak to you in a real way. I pray that these trials or these chastisements or whatever God may be taking you through, and listen, I said taking you through, the end of the tunnel is just down the road. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in following after God. Be not weary in being holy. Be not weary in following peace. Be not weary in lifting up your hands. Be not weary in strengthening those feeble knees. Be not weary in looking diligently into the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due time ye shall reap if ye faint not. But beloved, if you faint, the possibility that you'll fall from the grace of God, that you'll fail the grace of God, and a root of bitterness would spring up in your heart and not only defile you, but defile all those around you. There's victory in Jesus this morning. He is our only hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you just reach out and touch your people. I pray you to reach out and touch every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I pray they look to you, Lord. I pray they call upon your name while you're near. They repent of their sins. They make straight paths for their feet. And they will look diligently unto Jesus Christ, the author